is caught and juggled and caught. Touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
It is all over. The Browns have won it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50. He's in open field. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. It's a one-play drive.
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Well, even in a bye week, we have Football Friday. Get you set up for, a weekend of games. Browns aren't playing, but the rest of the NFL, or those that aren't on a bye, are playing. We're going to talk about some of those matchups. But we're also going to give you lots of Browns information. We're going to have Bernie Kosar. He will make the second of his two weekly visits with us. Bernie and I go through all of, we think, the highlights and lowlights of the first 4 weeks of the Browns 2011 season. Really good perspective from Bernie, as always. We're also going to give you some great historical perspective from our resident historian, Steve King. And he has got some tremendous stuff using what would have been a birthday this week of Bill Willis. And we know the story of Bill Willis, outstanding player, of course, in Browns history, Hall of Famer, but also someone who is a pioneer, along with Marion Motley, as two African-American players who broke a color barrier in professional football, actually broke a sports barrier. Lots of you're gonna really find this fascinating, I think, as we get into that. And it's Friday, which is fantasy time. We give you our weekly fantasy insights from NFL.com and NFL Network. Michael Fabiano, the editor, fantasy editor for NFL.com and NFL Network, joins us to help you set your teams. And, of course, we take your questions at Ask Vic. You submit them through the Browns official Facebook page, our official Twitter page, or you can do it via text, texting 78307 to Ask Vic, and you can leave your question there. Try as best you can in the limited space you have to put a name on it, put an initial on it, whatever, just so we know who you are. If you can't catch this show on ESPN 850 WKNR, you can hear the live stream on clevelandbrowns.com. You can download the official Browns app on your iPhone and on your Android devices. All right, those Ask Vic questions are brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube, and we have some good ones. Brian from Facebook asks, do you view Colt McCoy as a rookie, or do you think he is far past that? Do I still think he's a rookie, or do I think he's beyond that? This, Brian, really good question. It was addressed earlier in the week by Pat Shurmur, the Browns coach, basically saying he still saw Colt in that rookie mode. And I agree with that. I think he's something north of a guy like Andy Dalton, who hadn't played any official NFL games until he faced the Browns. But he's not that far north of that. He's a guy who is in an offense completely different than the one he experienced for the games that he played in 2010. So there's a little bit of a reset button hit there. Dealing with a new coach, new coordinator in Shurmur, reset button there. And personnel, Greg Little, new receiver, trying to get used to all the timing elements that come in with that, minus the time to really work together in offseason. So when you factor in a lot of different things, you can call Colt McCoy more of a rookie than a guy who is, as you put it, far past that. Mike via Facebook asks, do you think the defense will be improved from the last game? Mike, it better be. It really better be. The Browns cannot afford another defensive effort like that the rest of the way. They will never get away with that. You could say sometimes, well, your offense can overcome it, be explosive, put up points. We know right now that isn't the kind of offense the Browns are playing. They just aren't. Their passing game just hasn't established any sort of rhythm, consistency to put up those kind of points that can overcome an effort where you're missing tackles, where you're allowing big plays. And that's what happened, of course, against Tennessee. That can happen against the Raiders. There are too many people within that Raider scheme that play that game-breaking type of passing game that they thrive on and have for many, many years with Jason Campbell. I mean, that's their M.O. They're going to stretch it. They're going to throw it deep. They're going to pound it on the ground as well. We know that. Darren McFadden will do that. But they're going to try to stretch you out. They're going to test your secondary. And they're going to test your coverage skills, but also they're going to test your ability to get guys on the ground. And that has to happen. So to answer your question, will they be? I'm not going to predict the future. Do I think they'll be? I'll say this. As embarrassing as that was last week against Tennessee, I would hope that factors in, along with some constructive coaching, which I know Dick Geron and his staff and along with Pat Shurmur, has done with this team prior to the players taking off on Wednesday for their four-day mini vacation, as all teams who are in bye mode get. I know that was a point of emphasis, so we'll see how that all works out when we get there. I mentioned there are other games being played this weekend, even with a bye in place and some teams not playing, some very interesting games. Philadelphia Eagles at the Bills is one I'm going to keep an eye on, and that's because you've got a Buffalo team that's been pretty hot. They're 3-1, got off to a roaring start, and that then went a little cold against Cincinnati. But how about the Philadelphia Eagles, the dream team on the brink right now? They've got major defensive issues. If you think the Browns have some problems defensively after what you saw against Tennessee, there's no comparison to what Philadelphia has. Injuries on top of poor play, and the pressure and the heat is on, and this Philadelphia team could be one loss away from just full-out implosion. It's a bad situation because of the expectation. Because of the expectation for what was put together, their aggressiveness in shopping. And Fred Jackson, the Bills running back, I'm just having a hard time seeing how the Eagles are going to stop him. How are they going to deal with him? Because that guy is a beast. He is a big, strong, powerful running back. And then you have Ryan Fitzpatrick and those passing weapons that the Bills have. On the Eagles side of it, Michael Vick. Well, he's been unhealthy. He's been a guy who's just been having problems staying healthy, which a lot of us expected because he's Michael Vick. He runs around. He takes hits. That's just the way it is. So I'm going to keep an eye on that one. Obviously, we do our scouting report this week, more so than other weeks. We can always look ahead to the Browns' next opponent and pay attention to that game being played, but more so this week because the Browns aren't playing. So the full focus on this Raider team playing at Houston. I don't mind the fact that they're playing the Texans this week. I really don't, because I think this is a good opportunity, perhaps, for a physical Texans team to defensively, especially, to maybe soften this Raider team up a little bit. I don't expect the Raiders to win there. Now you could say, well, that'll make them that much angrier and ready for the Browns to come to town. I don't worry about that. It's matchup to matchup. I don't think this is a good matchup for the Raiders. And as far as what they did last week, they had problems against the Patriots. But don't be deceived. If you do see them on this slide, and they lost, of course, at Buffalo, it's the Buffalo game, the one that came down to those last seconds, that probably more closely compares to what the Raiders would be matched up with on next week, on a week from Sunday, against the Cleveland Browns, that Buffalo Raider game. Just on style, there's things that Tom Brady and the Patriots do that the Raiders just don't match up well with and aren't equipped to handle and play differently. They're going to play, I think, the Browns very similarly to that Buffalo game. All right, we have got a conversation coming up in a couple of minutes with Bernie Kosar, the one and only. We'll go over the first 4 weeks of the season with him. On Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design. Third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit libertyford.com.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15%. Off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct, and tomorrow you'll be safe.
I love my windows.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun. So now she's going out with that creep Nathan.
Cops are out there. And they'll see you before you see them. They're cracking down on drinking and driving all across the country. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Attention homeowners, put down the pigskin. Lawn season is not over. Fall is when your lawn needs food to build its roots. That's why fall is the best time to feed. And Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard is the food it wants. WinterGuard gives grass a deep Turf Builder feeding, creating stronger roots for a stronger lawn. I repeat, put down the pigskin and pick up a bag of Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard. Then pass the nachos. That concludes this Lawn Desk Alert. More details at scotts.com.
Hi, this is Megan,
Beth, and Erica
from Frank and Tony's Place. Come join us for game day specials. Pre-game with us Saturday from 11 to 4, 10 cent wings. Sundays, all day happy hour with $2 giant pizza slices.
Monday, we have $2 giant mugs and $5.99 large pizzas. There's no better day than game day.
Frank and Tony's Place, downtown Willoughby.
Hey, gang, the Roadman, Kenny Roding here. Join me on October 8th for Buckeye Game Day Live from Frank and Tony's in Willoughby before the Bucks battle the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We'll see you there.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Hi, this is Pat Shermer, and you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily. As the head coach just said, it's driven by Liberty Ford. Let's cue the music.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah.
We welcome aboard, as we always do, twice a week, Bernie Kosar, the one and only. How you doing, Bern?
Doing good. Not sure what to do with myself on a bye week.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. It's a bye, and what do former NFL players do? Your condition to be involved with football, certainly talk about this team, and we don't really have a game to look forward to, so it's a different mindset.
Yeah, it is, and typically this early in the season to be, you know, a bye week after week four, you would probably like it to be a little later, in more towards the middle of the season. But right. Ironically, you know, like a game is four quarters. I look at a regular season as four quarters, and finishing the first quarter of the season now as a player, ex-player, you're really just trying to analyze, you know, what's happened, what have I done, most importantly, what am I going to do? So you really, I think, need to be somewhat introspective and hard on yourself to figure out, you know, what did I do in those first four games, and how could I get better and improve for the next 12?
Right. And what did you do, by the way? How did you treat buys when you played?
Well, it was something where I would try to rest, look at film, kind of stretching and lightly working out, but I really like to analyze film. Being from the area, this is where, especially today with the money involved for the players and young players, being from the area, having so many family and friends around, they thought it really was a vacation. This isn't a vacation for the football players. These 53 guys really need to recoup on their body, do what we were just talking about a self-analysis of where they're at, so that they come back ready to play against Oakland next week. And sometimes family and friends kind of use it as a way to kind of get at you and to kind of distract you from, I think, what you want to do football-wise.
That's a great point. I've talked to some players about how they're going to spend this bye week, and you get different feelings. You get a sense from some of them that, well, I want to still look at a little film. I want to keep my head into it. There's no real fully unplugging. They say they want to get away from football in some way, or maybe through the course of this part of the week or over the weekend, but you don't get any real sense that guys want to unplug from it completely, because I think it's an unnatural thing to do in October.
I absolutely agree. Emotionally, completely, I'm on board with that. You cannot 100% unplug the football button. There's the off season ad nauseum. We've talked about the no OTAs, the no mini camps. We've had a month of training camp and a month of football games. You want to you're still fresh. You still, your mind, you haven't been taxed like it typically is. You're still, you know, and these guys are younger and in great shape. There's no way they need to detach themselves and then have to and want to start over beginning next week. I would completely think that'd be the wrong approach for the young players.
You mentioned about evaluating seasons the way you evaluate games in quarter fashion. So we are a quarter of the way through the first coaching season of Pat Shurmur and the first season of Colt McCoy as a full-time starting quarterback. So I want to start there. What are your observations on this team, big picture, as far as where Pat Shurmur has them at 2-2?
Well, you know, I think you could state cases why the team could maybe be 3-1. You could state cases why they could have a 1-3 record. That typically, I think, is the case when you're talking about a rebuilding and young team like this in transition with a new starting quarterback, a new offensive system, a new defensive system, new coaches. So actually, by and large, I actually think it's pretty good record to have only one game out of the North division lead. Three of us are at 2-2 right now. So I think that from that perspective, you know, it's a pretty solid position, especially given all the turnover and the lack of off-season preparation.
When you look at priorities, what you would list as the main things, the main focus for this football team, what should it be? What are the areas that need to be addressed the most, Bernie?
Well, interestingly to me is some of the things we talked about throughout the course of the show since the season started, during training camp, I still think is pretty pertinent to the team success and to individual success right now. And a lot of that, again, stems, I think, in and around the young receivers and some of the receivers kind of elevating their game and elevating their play. And I think a lot of that, like if I was some of the receivers now, and I know Coach harps on this and it's highly stressed, is that ability to separate, that ability to get themselves open, to create distance and separation between themselves and the defensive backs, and how you beat press coverage, how you get yourself into space, because that's kind of been one of the tough things so far this year and in the first month of the year, is kind of getting a consistent playmaking from the wide receivers.
Bernie Kosar joining us, former Browns quarterback, as he does every week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When you talk about the passing game, of course, we have to address Colt McCoy. So you mentioned about receivers getting open, making big plays in their respect. But as far as McCoy, what can he do as a quarterback to up his game or to make more of those dynamic plays rather than a lot of the dink and dunk stuff that we saw against Tennessee?
Again, a lot of that dink and dunk versus Tennessee, I think, was reflective of the score, and in turn, Tennessee kind of softening up, playing that soft skeleton cover four, two deep look, which kind of makes it more challenging to go down the field. But if I'm Colt, you know, again, to what we were talking about earlier, really needing to introspectively challenge and debate myself and look at myself as to how I've been throwing. I think by and large, he's throwing the ball pretty good. He's made the majority of the bigger plays has been outside the pocket. He's been flushed right a few times, the two touchdowns to Josh Cribbs down the right side. Nice plays, Muhammad Massaquoi, a couple throws rolling out to the right. So that decision of how do I stay in the pocket and do I wait that extra second to let plays develop on my second and third reads down the field, or do I continue to try to maybe get flushed and ad-lib a little bit? Because as much as you want to stay in the pocket and make those plays by kind of holding it in there, that extra split second, he has had success with his movement. So finding that right balance of when is the right time to do that is, I think, something he's probably typically wrestling with a lot.
Speaking of wrestling, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding Peyton Hillis from the moment, of course, that he didn't play that Miami game, with left the stadium early with strep throat before kickoff, controversy over whether that was something to do with his contract, and then issues over whether the Browns were purposely not using him a lot because in order to devalue him in the course of this contract negotiation, and then whether teammates feel the same or differently about him, and on and on. And it's a subject, Bernie, that just has not died. It just seems to have taken on a little bit of a life of its own and just continues to sort of boil through this bye week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that the statements of his agent, his third agent in a year, was not at all helpful, not at all, and actually probably resurrected to increased a lot of this conversation. You know, in terms of devaluing him, the Browns and that stuff, I absolutely don't see anything like that. And in terms of a long season, it's been well documented how running backs, especially guys like Peyton Hillis, who last year I think had 70% of his yardage, came after he had contact with the defense. So a bruising, punishing, physical guy over the course of a 16-game season, only being in week 3 and 4, I don't think you have to overuse and wear people out. And again, we mentioned talking about Colt McCoy. The game got out of line against Tennessee, so in turn, they were playing a lot of soft coverage, zone coverage, dropping deep, making the short throws almost necessary. Again, a game like that where you're 2-plus, 3-plus scores down to use and see what you got and hard to see is more of, I think, an influence than trying to pay back or do something against Peyton Hillis.
And the question was brought up to Pat Shurmur earlier this week about whether Peyton Hillis is a good fit in this West Coast offense. My initial reaction to that is I think he's fairly ideal in the sense that he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. That's something you want a back to do. He gives you that power element that you want in your offense as a complement to a quicker, more horizontal running guy like a Montario Hardesty. So I just think that there is a good fit there. But how do you see it, Bern?
Oh, I absolutely think he fits within this system. I think he's a better running Tom Rathman, who was with the San Francisco 49ers for a lot of years.
Great comparison. Yeah.
You know, making Super Bowl. That guy was on Super Bowl champion teams, winning teams. I think Peyton runs better than him, and I think Rathman ran good. So, you know, Peyton Hillis has nice hands. Has a good feel for how to get into spots in the passing game. I think the system's fine for him.
How about the defense? When we look at what you was for three games, foundationally holding up this football team pretty well, I thought, and even in having the gaffe that it had in that Cincinnati game that resulted in the quick snap touchdown. That aside, they were in that game largely because of how the defense played. The defense easily won them that game at Indianapolis and put them in position to win the game against Miami. And then what we see against Tennessee, I thought, just kind of came out of nowhere. There's no way I expected the defense to be as ineffective as it was, the poor tackling. So what do you make of all that?
Well, by and large, you know, typically we remember the last thing we've seen, and that was Tennessee. If you could go past that, I think your analysis is right on. And then taking it to the point where the last 2 years, Joe Hayden, Ward being the first two picks last year, Taylor and Jabal Sheard this year, you know, those four guys are young guys switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3. DeQuell Jackson coming back. I think Dick Geron's done a really good job with the young players and a transition from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
Special teams-wise, it seems like the presence of Brad Maynard has changed things significantly, at least giving this team what it is close to what it would have had with Reggie Hodges, who is by far one of the best punters in the league. But you're bringing a veteran like Maynard to replace the injured Richmond McGee, and we saw that disaster in that first game against Cincinnati. and it seems pretty steady. And to go along with what you already know is great special teams components in Phil Dawson, Josh Cribbs, the special teams seem to be in good shape.
Yeah, no question. When you have Phil Dawson, your kicking game's going to be better than most. The punting games come back to where it's not going to get you beat like it probably contributed to in the first game. I think Josh Cribbs and some of the hamstring groin injuries through the first quarter of the season has slowed him down a little bit on special teams, but there's somebody who probably definitely is benefiting from the bye week because he'll be able, I think, to come back as close to full strength at Oakland as he's probably been in the last couple months, and that can only enhance your team and your special teams in particular.
Yeah, and that goes with Joe Hayden, and it goes for Alex Mack after that appendectomy. Just getting these guys healthier. In terms of Pat Shurmur and what his approach maybe should be going forward after that kind of spanking that we saw from Tennessee, this is a young coach, a new coach. These are things that test coaches. So what do you think his approach should be, or what do you expect that it will be?
Well, I think it definitely test coaches, test players, test the foundation of who you are and what you are as a team and an organization. And I think that having this off week, you know what you're going to get. If you're going to play somebody in the league, Oakland is a team you want to play if you want to know what they're going to do. Because for 30, 40 years, Al Davis and the Raiders style of play, of wanting to hit big plays offensively, pound the ball at you, play bump coverage, play physical. That's been the Raiders' M.O. for decades. And I think from a younger team and newer staff, knowing what you're going to get, knowing what to expect, I think is a big help coming into a game like that.
Excellent. Great stuff, Bernie. As always, enjoy your bye week. I'll try to do the same with mine, and we look forward. We'll get together again on Monday.
Sounds good.
All right, Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Benson, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
When it comes to safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle's brakes. And whether it's a high-pitched squeal, pulling to one side or another, a grinding metal sound, or a vibrating steering wheel, you know when you have a brake problem. When it's time to replace your brakes, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Whether it's Brake Best Select, or Wagner Thermo Quiet, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories you need in stock at everyday low prices. Some simple maintenance on your brake system today can save you from costly repairs down the road or even a dangerous accident. Play it safe with brakes you can count on from O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly. O'Reilly. Auto Parts. Monsters fans, get to the queue Friday, October 7th at 7:30 for Monsters opening night presented by First Energy Solutions, when five people will win free electricity for a year. No purchase necessary. Visit LakeErieMonsters.com for details. It's also Dollar Dog Night, and the first 10,000 fans will get a magnetic schedule courtesy of Parma Hospital. Get your tickets today at 216-420-0000. Visit LakeErieMonsters.com or any Northern Ohio discount drug mart. Experience Cleveland hockey now. Your Monsters are presented by Kaiser Permanente.
Hey guys, three-time Super Bowl winner Gerard Carey here for Sunnyside Audi. I decided it was time to join the Sunnyside Audi team. Just listen to these stats. Sunnyside Audi is Ohio's only exclusive four-time Magna Society dealer. They're Ohio's number one exclusive sales leader, number one certified pre-owned dealer, and number one in overall customer satisfaction. They have the best staff in the business taking care of you and your vehicle. I've got a new Audi from Sunnyside, and I can tell you, driving an Audi is an experience like no other. Sunnyside Audi has all the models like the redesigned A6, new A7, and new A8. If you want the best of the best, Sunnyside is Ohio's only exclusive R8 dealer. Drive what the pros drive. Head to Sunnyside Audi. They're right off of 71 at Pearl, or you can check them out online at sunnysideaudi.com. East side, west side, it's always Sunnyside. Sunnyside Audi.
And we thank you for spending this portion of your Friday with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker, Steak, and Lube. Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you'll score with their $99 window sale. For every window you buy, get the second window for just $99. Plus, go long with 0% financing for up to 36 months, and you may still be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900 with Universal Windows Direct. You'll be saying, I love my windows. And this segment is driven by Liberty Ford. The bye week gives us a great opportunity to look into the Browns' rich history, and no one better to help us do that than the one and only Steve King, our resident historian. Steve, welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure to be here, Vic.
Looking at this week, Steve, October 5th would have been the day that Bill Willis celebrated his 90th birthday. And when you think of him as a former great Browns player, you also know that in September of 46, Willis and Marion Motley, as Browns players, permanently broke the color barrier in professional football.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those things where history doesn't really do justice. Jackie Robinson gets credit for having broke the color barrier, not just in baseball, but pro sports overall,
right,
when he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers in April of 47, when in fact, Marion Motley, Bill Willis played for the Browns start of September in 1946, so they really were the pioneers. In fact, when Robinson knew he was going to get called up, he contacted Willis and Motley and said, hey, you guys have done this before. What do I need to know? What did you go through? So, you know, Cleveland was a much smaller market than New York. Baseball was much, much bigger than football. So Jackie Robinson gets the credit. Willis and Motley get pushed to page two.
And wasn't it also a little bit of fortunate timing that both Willis and Motley get to do that because of the start of the Browns season versus the start of the Los Angeles Rams season, because they too had a couple of African-American players?
Yeah, the former Cleveland Rams, ironically, from the year before. And two African-American players, one of them Kenny Armstrong, and probably the most notable of the two. But they did not begin their season until September 29th. And the Browns began their All-America Football Conference season on a Friday night of Labor Day weekend, September 6th. So, you know, Willis and Motley technically, you know, got their feet wet in this process before any of the Rams players. But, the Rams and the Browns, mm-hmm, were far ahead of everybody, because it was a white league at that time.
And let's talk about, because it says a lot about Paul Brown at the time as, of course, founder and coach of this Browns team, that he was colorblind, that he realized it was about good football players, and good football players come in all colors and all shapes and all sizes and all religious denominations. His feeling was, you know, so be it. I mean, it wasn't back then, sadly, a popular way to go about business, and I'm sure there was some rebuke to that. But talk about Paul Brown's just pioneer spirit there.
Oh, yeah, and you hit the nail on the head, because that was not the common thread of belief among a lot of people back then, but he looked upon it as, you know, there was a tremendous crop of African-American players who were very athletic, very good football players. He had seen it at Massillon High School. He saw it at Ohio State. He knew these guys were around, that they could play, and he, I really believe in his heart, was truly antiseptic in that vein, in that he understood that, you know, these guys are football players. Doesn't matter if they're white, black, purple, right. Doesn't matter anything. He knew they could play football, and he wanted a winning football team, and he didn't care, you know, who it was that wore those uniforms.
And he had history, of course, with Bill Willis. Willis played for him on that Ohio State team that he had, won the Ohio State's first national championship in 1942, and played a big part of that. And he knew about Marion Motley, because when Brown was coaching at Massillon High School, Motley was at the arch rival team, Canton McKinley.
He had coached against him. He knew exactly how good Motley was. He knew exactly how good Willis was, because he had coached him. And if you want to take it one step further, in 1947, they bring on Horace Gillum, the punter. And he had Horace Gillum at Massillon, coached him at Massillon. And the legacy of Horace Gillum, and you read the stories, you know, he kicked the ball above the lights at Massillon's now Paul Brown Tiger Stadium. And so you brought three guys in, very good athletes, very good football players, and oh, by the way, they happen to be African-American. And he kind of paved the way in that.
Steve King, our resident historian, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's one thing to be Paul Brown and get your share of static for making such a decision personnel-wise at the time when it wasn't the popular thing. It's another thing to live through this as guys like Bill Willis and Marion Motley had to. They were, you think about society, and it's difficult enough just being in society, but now you're in the realm of football. You're in stadiums where fans, regardless of color, are ready to shout the nastiest things the world throw. And back then, again, the safety issues, the concerns were, it was a little more wide open, I think, Wild Wild West in all of pro sports. And then to deal with opponents, and if not teammates, who give them their share of grief and beyond. And you had a chance to talk with Bill about this. What did he express about it?
I had the rare privilege to talk to him on several occasions about that. And I say rare privilege because he was probably one of the classiest human beings, if not the classiest I ever met. And Bill Willis didn't want to be called names while they were in a pile. He did not want his leg twisted. He did not want his eyes poked out in piles. And he told me some of the things that went on, and some of them we can't even repeat here. Some of the names he were called, we can't repeat here. But he knew somebody had to do it. He knew that there had to be somebody with a pioneering spirit, and while he didn't want to have that happen to him, the physical and the verbal things that were done to him, he knew he was the right man for it, because he was not going to retaliate. Now, he knew, and he had been told, as the Dodgers had told Jackie Robinson, the first time you retaliate, you're going to set this process back decades.
Sure.
So you have to be basically a pinata. You have to sit there and take it. You have to walk away. You have to have a stiff upper lip. And while that's easy to say, Vic, you and I both know, because, I mean,
human
people
nature.
Grow up. Human nature, you want to fight back, and you can only turn the cheek so many times.
You can't fathom. I mean, there's no fathoming that. There's no relating to that unless you're the guy and you're in that situation. And you're right. I think by what he did, though, and this ties in, I keep calling it rich history with the Browns. I mean, this is such a special part, because it's not just the performer, how well he did to help the football team, what he's done for generations of people, what he's done for the game, the sport. I want to give Paul Brown his fair share of credit on this, but like you said, Bill Willis was the one who had to go through the hell, and he dealt with it, as did Marion Motley.
Bill Willis always told me, when we would talk about this, that his answer to that was not anything verbal. It was making tackles in the backfield. It was sacking the quarterback. It was, you know, causing fumbles. And that was his answer. Now, if Bill Willis had been a mediocre player, you know, maybe things have been changed, but he was a tremendous player. And those players who did not like the fact that, quote unquote, they were having to play against someone that they felt, or society felt, God forbid, was substandard. Sadly so. But he was a tremendous player. They had to give him his due. He was a Hall of Famer, and that made it more palatable. And not only him, but Marion Motley,
right.
and later Horace Gillam, Len Ford, and so on and so forth down the road.
And another interesting footnote to all of this is that the Browns, being so far ahead of other teams at this time, that they trade Bobby Mitchell to the Washington Redskins in 1962 for the rights to Ernie Davis. So when they did that, the Redskins get their first African-American player.
Now Vic, you and I weren't around in 1946, but
no.
We were around in 1962. So that was a lot of years passed between the two. And to think that somebody does something that drastic, it kind of changed the game in 1946, and to think that someone doesn't get on board with it till 16 years later,
wow,
kind of says a lot about the Browns, and maybe it doesn't say a lot about the other team as well.
No, and you're right, and it put, I mean, they were, again, we hear about and talk about Paul Brown's innovation so far ahead of the rest of the league, and that included, of course, that Washington Redskins team. Great stuff from you, as always. Fascinating stuff, Steve. We appreciate it. He is Steve King. You can read his great historical insights on clevelandbrowns.com. You can see him on our TV platform, and you, of course, can go on a tour with Steve at Cleveland Brown Stadium. Highly, highly recommend this. You want some great background and information, and while checking out the stadium, it's a tremendous tour, and a lot of people are signing up for it. I think it's because of the show. No, it's because of the word of mouth. They know it's you. If you're interested in that, call 440-824-3361, again, for a Cleveland Brown Stadium tour with Steve King, or tours at clevelandbrowns.com. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, Vic. Always a pleasure.
All right. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans. Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. With over 30 years in Northeast Ohio, it's certain Liberty Ford will make your next vehicle purchase an easy one. A friendly and knowledgeable staff paired with high-quality customer service makes the Liberty experience impossible to beat. Plus, their guaranteed financing, award-winning service department, and body shop just add to it. Visit Liberty Ford today or go to libertyford.com.
In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security, on Route 91 in Twinsburg, and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
Will Burge here, and Crestmont Hyundai's huge selection of certified pre-owned vehicles gives you the options you need when shopping for a used car. Get to CrestmontHyundai.com and see for yourself. CrestmontHyundai.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hurt in a car? Call KNR. 1-800-HURT-NOW. Kissling, Nestico, and Reddick.
Find your magic at Macy's Columbus Day Sale. Take an extra 15 or 10% off with your WOW savings cap from Macy's Star Rewards card. Work your look with dresses and suits for her under $100. Take an extra 30% off fashion and home clearance. Buy more, save more during our great shoe sale. Plus, designer luggage closeouts now 65% off. Macy's Columbus Day Sale. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Joe Hayden is back at Harry Buffalo Parma Heights Monday, October 17th after the bye week. Joe Hayden Monday Night Football is branded by Harry Buffalo and its 7 locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Joe Hayden Live Monday, October 17th at Harry Buffalo Parma Heights.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Momentarily, we will get into our fantasy segment with Michael Fabiano, NFL.com, NFL Network. But hey, Browns fans, single game tickets are going fast. So purchase yours before it's too late. That includes the upcoming Browns versus Seahawks matchup. That's on Sunday, October 23rd at 1 p.m. For more information, you call 1-800-745-3000 or you visit clevelandbrowns.com today. Joining us now for our weekly fantasy segment is Michael Fabiano from NFL.com and NFL Network. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dick. How you doing, my friend?
Doing really well. See players, and starting with the running backs, usually always a great place to start in this business. Mm-hmm. Michael Turner having a real strong start, 304 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns in 4 weeks. I would think that He's a decent play or a good play against the Packers Sunday?
Yeah, definitely. And you know that Michael Turner, he thrives typically when he's playing at the Georgia Dome. So this is going to be a shootout. I don't see there being any way this is not like a 35-31 game where both offenses are just throwing the ball over the field, running it all over the field. So I really like Turner. And listen, you know what? He's been a little bit inconsistent, but last week had a couple of touchdowns against the Seahawks. Turner's a guy you roll with, especially what's going on at the running back position. There's a lot of inconsistency right now.
And another thing, looking at this game, and it's a Sunday night game, so prime time, everybody tries to raise, I think, the level of their game.
Sure.
The way the Falcons are built, it looks to me like this wouldn't be a situation where you're going to have a running back not getting enough carries because the team falls too far behind, even though that is Aaron Rodgers on the other side.
Yeah.
Looking at this offense, Matt Ryan and the Falcons can keep pace with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the Packers' pass defense, Dick, I mean, it's been brutal. They're giving up some of the most fantasy points among quarterbacks at wide receiver. They've been giving up a ton. I mean, they gave up a lot to Newton. They gave up a lot to Drew Brees. And I think this is going to be Matt Ryan's coming out party from a fantasy perspective this season. He's 17th in fantasy points among quarterbacks right now and had a good game last week against the Seattle Seahawks. But I think this is a week where he really puts up 300 yards, a couple of touchdown passes at least. And again, a game that I think is going to be a real shootout. And speaking of Turner, they're not going to be throwing the ball 60 times. They're still going to utilize Michael Turner sort of to balance that offense. But Turner, a good play. Ryan, a good play. I think, obviously, Roddy White, despite the fact that he hasn't been as good as we thought he would be this year, a good play. And how about Julio Jones, the rookie? I can't remember a season when two rookie wide receivers had actually come into the league at the same time and made a very solid impact. And you've got Green and AJ Green, and you've got Jones in Atlanta, both guys just putting up good fantasy totals.
Now, Green's team, the Bengals, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bengals have been pretty stout against the run. Does that raise any question about whether or not Maurice Jones-Drew is as good a play this week, even though he's a guy that everybody would covet on their fantasy team and gets a lot of touches? How do you view that?
You've got to play him, especially with six teams on a bye, Vic. I mean, it is really difficult to bench a guy of Maurice Jones-Drew caliber. You know, they want to get him the football. And, you know, as you mentioned, the Bengals defense may be a little bit better than we thought it would be, better than advertised. But Jones-Drew, a guy you likely took late first round, early second round, during the bye weeks, and even when every team is playing, he's a guy you roll with despite the matchup. So I think MJD stays active in most leagues.
Any trends starting to jump out at you, Michael, through the first quarter of the season that have impacted how we should look at the fantasy world?
Well, I can tell you one thing. A lot of leagues have flex spots, and in the past, people have always wanted to have running backs in the flex spots. Well, wide receivers are sort of catching up. Now you play the matchups between the two. So if you've got a running back and a wide receiver decision at a flex spot that is very similar, you play the matchup. Another thing that I've really noticed is the fact that running backs have been far less reliable. So people who drafted Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster, LeSean McCoy, Darren McFadden in the first round, you know, they're reaping the benefits. But there's also been a lot of guys now that have really been disappointments. D'Angelo Williams comes right to mind. Peyton Hillis comes to mind with the Browns. Guys who have been really inconsistent. So people are playing the matchups more for their number two running back, for their flex spot. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that was sort of easy to predict was just the unbelievable depth at the quarterback position. it's great to have Aaron Rodgers right now, and it's great to have Tom Brady and Drew Brees and these elite guys. But look, Cam Newton was off the waiver wire, and right now he's in the top five in fantasy points among quarterbacks. Ryan Fitzpatrick, also a guy who was off the waiver wire that you picked up, and now he's your starting quarterback. So there's a lot of good quarterbacks around the league because of the rules, because this has become a passing league. It has really become, I don't want to say it's arena football out there, you know, with the way that these guys are scoring, but quarterbacks are putting up huge, huge numbers, and it's not just the big names that are putting up the big numbers either. It's the Fitzpatricks, it's the Newtons, it's Matt Bradford, who was my big breakout guy this year. He's having an enormous season, so a lot of good quarterbacks out there.
Michael Fabiano joining us, fantasy editor for NFL.com and NFL Network, giving us our fantasy breakdown heading into Week 5. Some matchups looking pretty good on the quarterback side that at least I can see. And tell me what you think. Josh Freeman for the Buccaneers taking on the 49ers. Good one?
Yeah. Very good matchup, and fantasy owners sort of breathed a sigh of relief on Monday night when he actually had a very good game. It was the first good fantasy performance that he's had all season, and last year he was really consistent. But, yeah, very good matchup, especially with the byes here. Freeman's a good start.
And we touched on this game earlier. As good a play as Michael Turner looks to be against the Packers, wouldn't we put Matt Ryan in the same category?
Love him. Listen, the Packers have just been so vulnerable to the pass this year. You've got to go with a guy like Matt Ryan, unless you have an elite quarterback, you know, a Rodgers, a Brees, a Brady, somebody like that. Ryan's a really good start. I expect him to have, again, his best fantasy stat line of the season.
Michael, I got a close-up view of Chris Johnson last week when the Titans faced the Browns and looked like he was the ascension is starting to come into his game. He didn't have the breakout game against the Browns. They were keying to make sure that didn't happen, but it looks to me like he was one game away from doing something big. Could something big actually happen against the Steelers when I think about that defense being kind of an aging one and maybe having some problems? Now James Harrison's hurt, not looking as sharp as it has been.
Yeah, and actually, Vic, if you drafted the Steelers' defense, they were one of the first units taken in most leagues, and you can drop them right now. I mean, they're not even in the top 20 in fantasy points at that position. So, and look at Joseph Addai, had almost 15 fantasy points against the Steelers, and he's had it. That was his best game of the year, and it was against the Steelers, their last game. I mean, you don't have to remind anyone how Arian Foster just decimated that defense. It's not the same defense that we're used to, the old steel curtain. So, yes, Chris Johnson, a sigh of relief for fantasy owners who drafted him last week when he rushed for over 100 yards. And I do think you're right. He shook the rust off. He didn't have a preseason or a training camp because of the holdout. And now he's sort of running into form. This is a guy who just didn't get bad all of a sudden. I mean, this is a great running back who clearly had some rust to shake off, and now he's done that. And CJ2K needs to be in your lineup going forward.
Couple of backs that I'm looking at kind of in the same light just because of the opposing defenses they're facing. Fred Jackson, Bills going up against the Eagles. That game is in Buffalo, and Jackson's been just a beast and probably doesn't get enough appreciation for what he's meant to this very strong Bills start. Is this a good opportunity for him?
Great play, and you know what? If people in Buffalo don't appreciate Fred Jackson, I can tell you fantasy owners clearly do, because he's in the top five in fantasy points among running backs right now. And there's been a few busts so far, first round busts at the running back position. A guy like Rashard Mendenhall comes right to mind. So Freddie Jackson's been one of the best draft bargains in fantasy football this year, and the Eagles can't stop anybody against the run. I mean, Frank Gore looked pretty average for the first 3 weeks. Last week, we weren't even sure if he was going to play with the ankle. He comes out and has over 100 rushing yards. So the Eagles' defense is really, really putrid against the run, and this is a defense you want to focus on when you have a running back going up against them. Fred Jackson's the guy this week. He is a must-start.
And when I hear Rex Ryan, the coach of the Jets, say, going back to ground and pound, the first thing that comes to mind is Sean Green, and the second thing that comes to mind is the Patriots are giving up almost 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, you know what? I think this is going to sort of be a situation where we see how the game plays out. Yes, he wants to run the ball, but the Patriots' pass defense is terrible. They've given up a ton of fantasy points, both to quarterbacks and wide receivers. So if you're afraid to start Sanchez because he was just pitiful last week, don't be. If you're afraid to start Santonio Holmes, don't be. I wonder if this doesn't turn into a shootout. The Patriots clearly have the better offense. The Jets' defense is hurt. You know, they just lost Brian Thomas for the year. So if the Patriots come out and score, 10, 14 points before the Jets even blink an eye, well, they're going to have to abandon that run. Sean Green needs to show me something. I almost think, Vic, that LaDainian Tomlinson is the better fantasy play because of his usefulness as a receiver out of the backfield. Green's got to show me something before I trust him, but I really think this is going to be a game where you're going to see a lot of points. Both defenses struggling, very hurt. You know, Jerod Mayo out for the New England Patriots, and that's going to hurt big time there. So I start Green as a flex. I even use LT as a flex. Steven Ridley and Ben Jarvis Greenellis, same sort of situation. And again, if you need a quarterback this week, Mark Sanchez, I don't think is as bad a play as people think based on what he did last week. And you'd think he needs to be motivated to really prove that he's not as bad a quarterback as he looked against the Ravens last week.
Great stuff, as always, Michael. And we thank you so much for your time.
All right, my friend, take care.
Michael Fabiano, he is the fantasy editor for NFL.com and NFL Network, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Like Northeast Ohio's best-selling truck, Ford F-Series and Ranger, Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now, available with 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 in rebate. That's 0 for 60. Plus $1,000 on Ford Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Med and NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runouts, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12. True to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Ask Vic question here that we want to get to. Ask Vic question. Sponsored by Quaker Steak and Lube from Twitter, Dustin at Dustin the Wind. Like that. He asked, do you see Evan Moore making a big comeback against the Raiders since we haven't seen much of him so far? Dustin, I do think Evan Moore gets more involved going forward. I think we probably will start seeing that in the Oakland game. I think it's something that the coaching staff is conscious of, especially Pat Shurmur, conscious of, but again, this offense isn't about one particular guy getting a ton of catches. It's still going to be balanced. And when it works to perfection, the West Coast is about a balanced passing game to go along with a balanced overall offense, the running game being an integral part of it. I talked about intriguing games to look at in this bye week. Tennessee at Pittsburgh, absolutely. We saw what the Titans were about last week, this beat-up Pittsburgh defense. I don't think they're going to handle that Titans offense. That would be great, of course, for the Browns and Browns fans. So I think the Titans are going to continue their role in that game. And Packers-Falcons, another one. That should be a real shootout. Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, as we talked about in the fantasy segment, very interesting. And the Jets, a team on the brink trying to win at Foxborough. No easy task there whatsoever. Want to thank Bernie Kosar. Want to thank Steve King. Want to thank Michael Fabiano, Kristen Ribelli, Jameer Howerton, Pat McKenna, Dave DiNatale, and TJ Zuppi. We will talk to you again Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.